Hey, it's Kathy, and this is Beyond the Plate, Heard, the audio newsletter where I share what's on my plate, literally and figuratively. From culinary insights to restaurants and recipes, it's everything I'm seeing, tasting, and talking about in just a few minutes. This isn't a peer-reviewed culinary journal, it's just my take on what I'm into at the moment. So let's dive in, and I hope you all take something from my plate. First up is Capon's Chop House. Capon's Chop House in Hackensack, New Jersey is the newest restaurant by Chef Josh Capon. If you don't know Josh Capon, you should at the very least be following him on social media. But Capon has been cooking for a while, and I would say he really started to make a name for himself at Lure Fish Bar in New York City, which they also had one later on in Miami. He had a number of other restaurants in New York City as well. That's besides the point. Capon has a new venture that he co-founded called VCR Group. He co-founded this with Gary Vaynerchuk, David Rodelitz, and Connor Hanlon. And within that group, they have a hospitality portfolio of restaurants in New York City and Vegas. I believe that's it right now. Well, Capon's in Jersey. Anyway, back to the lecture at hand. Capon's Chop House. I'm pretty certain aside from his burger place in the Fountain Blue, Vegas, this is Capon's first restaurant with his name in big, bright lights. I was in New York City last week and saw Josh Capon at an event I was at, and a few people were asking me about the restaurant. And my best description of Capon's food, without having been to Capon's Chop House, which just opened last week, and I mean this as a sincere compliment, is I call it Capon food. And when I say it's Capon food, Josh executes really delicious dishes that feel kind of familiar. You wouldn't necessarily make them at home, and that you just really want to eat. They're executed well. Are they three Michelin star dishes or meals? No, absolutely not. But that's not what he's going for. He's going for really good food, really great atmosphere, with really great service, and you're going to have a good experience. So if you're in or near Hackensack, New Jersey, check out Capon's Chop House. You will find all the links and handles I mentioned in the show notes. Next up is Pink Door Cookies. Pink Door Cookies is a cookie shop in Nashville, Tennessee. It was started during the pandemic by a very talented pastry chef, Matt Rice, who spent some time at great restaurants in Chicago, like Girl and the Goat. He does incredibly fun and themed cookies. Fun themed? Fun and themed? They're both. For example, when Taylor Swift was in town, he did a whole theme around that. He always has some seasonal cookies. Like right now, he has some fall flavors like pumpkin cold brew. Yes, that's a cookie, not a drink. My wife and I always love Matt's blueberry pancake flavored cookie. And he has a cinnamon toast snickerdoodle cookie. Whenever we're in Nashville, we get Pink Door and always send people there. We actually celebrated my wife's birthday in Nashville and gave Pink Door cookies to everyone who came to celebrate with us. So if you're ever in the Nashville area, check out Pink Door Cookies. Next up is a recipe for smash dumplings. Okay, hear me out. I saw this recipe as I was scrolling on Instagram and it looked so good. I believe it was from the handle Steve Cooks Something is what it's called. And he said he was inspired by something that Tasty posted for a smash gyoza. Anyway, if you saw the whole smash burger taco trend, maybe you're with me, but I was like, about it. I never even made them though, so maybe that's unfair. But these smash dumplings, they just make so much sense to me. You know why they make so much sense to me? Because a burger is a burger. It's not hard to cook a burger. So I don't know that I need to smash burger meat onto a tortilla. A dumpling, on the other hand, that's a little more labor intensive. You have to make a filling. You're putting it in a dumpling wrapper. You're pinching the wrapper. You're cooking it, so on and so forth. So a smash dumpling, you're taking the same flavorful dumpling filling and smashing it onto a dumpling wrapper or wonton skin, and you're just saving so much time and you're still getting that great flavor. I have not made these yet, but I am due for a trip to H Mart, so I will likely be picking up some wonton skins and will make them soon. Next up is Boogie Down Bronx Honey. Boogie Down Bronx Honey is a pure, raw, local Bronx honey. I learned about this Bronx honey at a food market I went to in New York last week that was affiliated with the Ceres Food Film Festival. I happened to be an advisor to the Ceres Food Film Festival, and they did a really cool market with these small makers and craftspeople. And this is where I met Sean from Boogie Down Bronx Honey. Sean also does school visits to teach kids about beekeeping and honey. And he does this cool thing where he invites the community for their annual honey harvest. They have some really delicious flavors. I bought a jar of their habanero infused honey and a jar of their lavender honey. So check out Boogie Down Bronx Honey. Next up is a book called The Bottomless Cup by restaurateur Kevin Bame. Kevin Bame is one half of Boca Restaurant Group out of Chicago, and The Bottomless Cup is his new memoir. This Wednesday's Beyond the Plate episode is with Kevin. I actually sat down with him at his house to discuss his journey into the industry and a little bit more about his book, The Bottomless Cup. Kevin has opened over 45 restaurants throughout his career. He has some of the hottest restaurants in Chicago. He's got one in New York, LA, and this book is wild. It has some crazy stories, some great business lessons, and some great life lessons as well. There is a lot in this book. It is available for pre-order now and hits shelves next week. And we will share links and handles for Kevin and the book in the show notes. Next up is my food recap from a recent trip I took to New York City. I know I did a recap in our last episode of Herd from my trip to Austin. So if you like these recaps and learn something from them, message me and let me know. And if they're really annoying and you don't care about everywhere I ate when I traveled, let me know too and I won't do them. So I was in New York for the New York City Wine and Food Festival just for a few days and hit up a lot of great places, great bars, great restaurants. So I will try and make this super quick and I will link to all the places I went to in the show notes. I had a delicious late night meal at Josh Capon's Fly Fish Club. Ooh, that's two mentions for Capon in one episode. I checked out Dominique Ansel's new French Taiwanese bakery called Papa de Amor. Highly recommend sweet and savory and delicious coffees. I went to Mommy Pie's Chicken Fingers, which is the same owner as Thai Diner. Highly recommend Mommy Pie's. It's a walk-up window. Hit up two incredible bars in the East Village. The first one is called Bar Snack, former Beyond the Drink guest Ian Griffiths. Had a couple delicious cocktails and some good bites there as well. And then around the corner, went to a bar called Schmuck, which is also a former Beyond the Drink guest named Moal Jeff. Also had a few incredible cocktails there, as well as some great snacks. Hit up a bagel shop downtown called Leo's Hand Rolled Bagels, which I recommend if you're downtown. And lastly, on my way out to the airport, popped into Dominique Ansel workshop and had a number of things, but a really cool olive oil lemon poppy seed cake with this laminated dough wrapped around it. So that's a quick recap of my time in New York City. One last thing before I leave you. Rice cookers. That's it. I'm just very into them these days. I personally like the Tiger brand. Mine has one switch. It's cook the rice or it's warm. I got mine at an Asian market here in Chicago, but you could also find it on Amazon. If you're debating about getting a rice cooker, just get it. You will be glad you did, I promise. Plus, the holidays are coming soon, so you can also add it to your gift list or buy one for someone who likes rice and they'll appreciate it. I will say you don't need a big one. I think mine is a 3-cup capacity, which sounds very small. And it's pretty small, but it does the job. We're a family of four and it makes plenty with leftovers. Yes, make leftovers, keep it in the fridge, and then make great fried rice. There is a 5-cup one and maybe even a bigger one, but I don't think the bigger one is necessary. I will link to the one I have in the show notes. Thanks for listening to Herd, a production of Beyond the Plate. You can find all the links and handles I mentioned in the show notes. If you like this, then tap the follow button and tune in for more Herd, where I share what I'm seeing, tasting, and loving lately in food and hospitality. And if your friends and family may enjoy it, I hope you'll share it with them. Until next time.